We're going to read from the Bible, from Matthew's Gospel once again, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. It's amazing, don't you think, how the same thing can result in a totally different response from various people. So think about it, the music that's in the charts right now, I don't know what that is because I don't really follow the charts anymore, but some of us would probably absolutely love it, whereas others would probably say, it's just noise to me. That's all it is. Or Christmas presents, give an 8-year-old boy some socks, they probably would be a little bit disappointed, but give many of us socks, and we would probably say, "Thank you, I just needed a new pair of socks," and we'd be quite happy. It can be the same with food. Some people turn their noses up at Brussels sprouts, whereas others go for a generous helping. I know mushrooms, they split opinion, don't they? Some people delight when they see garlic mushrooms on the menu, whereas there are other people who would shake their heads and avoid them at all costs. Same thing, totally different responses. And in our passage tonight, we see Jesus is a little bit like that. Same baby, same person, but totally different responses. He totally divides opinion. Some people, at the mention of Jesus, vent their anger, express their shock, say he means nothing to them. In fact, today, some people mention Jesus and, well, they just use his name as a swear word when they get upset, when things don't go their way, they use his name. Others are indifferent to him. But yet there are people in this room and there are people right around the world who would do anything for him, who would lay down their lives for him, who are convinced that he is God and someone that can command their entire lives. Now, music, Brussels sprouts, mushrooms, presents, etc., that's all down to just taste. Your opinion of them doesn't really matter. Whereas your response to Jesus couldn't be more key to your entire life and your eternity. So in our passage tonight, we saw two different groups of people. We're going to see more about King Herod next Sunday morning. So we're not going to concentrate, focus on King Herod this afternoon. But we have two groups of people who have two entirely different responses to Jesus. So let's take a look at them, and we might be surprised who it is that has the certain response to Jesus. First group is, if you have a Bible, open with me to Matthew 2. You'll see the first group that we're looking at is the group that's mentioned in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, up to verse 5. They are the religious people. They're the people who should know better. They should know everything God was doing. Let me tell you something about Jesus. God for hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, had been telling his prophets to announce that somebody was coming to fix the problem this world has. There are problems in life, aren't there? We all face them. We all know about them. We experience them, sickness, disability, tension. We read about wars and famine. We all are exposed to death through loved ones and friends and work colleagues. We could go on. Ultimately, this world is broken. I'm sure we're in no doubt about that as we look around the world. And all those things the Bible teaches us are a direct consequence of living in God's world without listening to God. So God speaks, we don't listen, and as a result, this world is broken. This world is a mess. But Jesus, he is the long-expected Saviour. He is the one who would face the penalty that ignoring and rebellion against God incurs, and he would do that so that we could know God. And did you notice at the end of verse 6, the great quote that was said of him? This king who was coming, it says, will be the shepherd of my people Israel. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what Jesus is doing today. He is a shepherd, one who cares for people. We all know the role of a shepherd and what a shepherd does for sheep. Watches out for them, makes sure no predators gets near them, feeds them, brings them into new pastures, has time for them, looks after them when they're sick, is just there all the time to protect them. That's what Jesus is like. That's what he came to do, to be a shepherd for all of God's people. And for, like I've said, hundreds of years, God has been telling one particular family called Israel or the Jews that a rescuer is coming, the shepherd is coming, the true king, the true priest, he is coming. The prophets even foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem. And in our account, some strangers turn up, more about them in a moment, but they turn up on the scene and they ask a question in verse 2. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So these strangers are coming to the religious people and they're saying, your shepherd's arrived. Your king has made it. Where is he? The one who's going to bring you security and joy has arrived. Where is he? We want to worship him. Now, what should the religious people be doing? What should their response be? Their response should be fantastic. That is great. Brilliant. Our king's arrived. But look what happens in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And it's not just him that was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Their response wasn't, great, can't wait, let's go and find him. Their response wasn't, really, in our lifetime, we're going to see what God's doing. Best news ever. No, they're disturbed. They're almost a bit uncomfortable with the news. Why was that? Ever thought about that? Why is it that they are disturbed when they should be rejoicing? I think it's in the word king. What does a king do? A king rules. A king gives orders. And maybe they just weren't ready for that. Maybe they thought, I don't want to be told what to do. Maybe they thought, life's not too bad like it is at the moment, thanks. We don't want things to change. We don't want a new king making life uncomfortable for us. We don't need somebody to come and help us. Everything's okay with us. Now, I think that's shocking. It's totally shocking and surprising. And Matthew wants us to be surprised that these religious people, the ones who should be eagerly awaiting the birth of the Messiah, the promised king, are just disturbed at the news of his arrival. Let's turn on to the second group. The second group is the Magi. Now, let's clear up some myths about them. We didn't tonight sing We Three Kings of Orient Are. Let's point out some myths about them. We don't know their names. So is it Caspar and Melchior and Belzer? Yeah, we don't know their names. It's not listed in the book of Matthew. Were there three of them? Again, we don't know. I think what people tend to assume is because there were three gifts, therefore there were three of them. Were they kings? Again, no. The word is magi. What does that mean? Well, Magi, they were people who were stargazers, people who studied the skies. Magi is where we get the word magic from. That's what they were involved in. Now, the Bible forbids magic, and the Bible tells us not to look to the stars for guidance, but to the maker of the stars. So these men, these magi, couldn't be any less Christian. Do you realise that? These people couldn't be any less Christian. They're stargazers, people who are into magic. They weren't followers of God. They were everything a follower of God shouldn't be. Well, almost. But it's amazing because these guys, they've seen a star and they know a king's been born. How? We don't know. Some people say that they came from Babylon, which is where some of God's prophets used to be. So they think perhaps they've heard some of the prophecies and somehow through this star, they know that the king has been born. We don't know, but God has revealed to them that a new king has been born. And I find the two sentences they say in Jerusalem incredible. It's verse 2. Just, if you've not noticed these verses, just look at them with me. In verse 2, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Firstly, they say, where has the king that's been born? And like we've mentioned in previous years, kings are not born, are they? Princes are born. But Jesus is different. He was born a king. Secondly, what I find incredible is they have come to worship him. This time last year, I spent a bit of time in Wigan Maternity Ward. And let me tell you, I never saw anybody come in and worship a baby. Didn't happen once. Yeah, there's lots of cuckoos and aren't they cute, etc., etc. But nobody came in, bowed down, and began to worship a baby. Why would you? They're a baby. But the wise men, the magi, they come in and they bow down. They know he's a great king. Did you see where their faith led them? They were willing to travel hundreds of miles, probably on camels. They were willing, did you see in verse 11, to give expensive gifts. These were kingly presents, gold, incense and myrrh. They really are royal gifts. They were willing to give those gifts at great personal cost to themselves. Why? Because they believed by faith that this baby was a great king. Now, I wonder, they are the two responses to Jesus. The religious people, disturbed. The irreligious, worshipped. I wonder, what's our response? Because the Bible, again, is clear. Jesus is the true king. His kingdom lasts forever. No matter who you are or what you've done, there is room in God's kingdom for you. There is room in God's kingdom for stargazers, for magicians. This is a kingdom that continues after the grave. All those things are true, whether you acknowledge that or not. All it takes is faith in Jesus, like the Magi, and we enter God's kingdom. I think the Magi are incredible. The more I think about it, even when they turned up at Herod's palace, and he was like, whoa, he's not here, go and look for him in Bethlehem, they walk into a stable. Now, do you not think at that point they might have just started thinking, have we gone to the wrong place? Have we been misled? The baby in a manger. Is that him? Is that the king? Is that really the king? He's not in a grand palace. He's just somewhere in Bethlehem, just out of the way. But they had faith. They had faith to believe that this baby was destined for greatness. Now, I don't know how much they knew. I don't know if God had revealed to them that this baby was going to die on a cross to save his people from their sins. All we know is they gladly bowed down. That is a symbol of saying, you are greater than me. I am at your service. Now, what about us? You might be able to relate more to the religious group of people than the Magi. You might know your Bible back to front, inside out. Maybe you were born in a Christian family. Maybe you come to church every week. This Christmas, are you worshipping Jesus? Or actually, are you disturbed by him? Actually, are you indifferent to him? Do you not think you need him? You think your life is fine without him? Or maybe you're not religious. Maybe you don't class yourself as spiritual. You might even check your stars in the newspaper. What's your response going to be to Jesus? See, Jesus was born a king. And this afternoon, he demands my worship and he demands your worship. He welcomes us all to come and bow down. It will be costly. Just look at what happened to the Magi. It was very costly for them. Faith in Jesus turned your life upside down. But you are part of a kingdom that lasts forever. How will you respond? What's your response going to be this evening? Let's bow our heads and let's pray and think about that before we sing our last song together. Father, to think what those magi saw. They go to a palace and they're told to go to Bethlehem, and to this couple, this poor couple, they find baby Jesus. And yet they had faith. Faith to see him, not as simply a baby, but as a true king that demanded their worship. Father, help us all to consider in our own hearts this evening what our response to Jesus is going to be. See, the truth is, externally, we're all at church. But only you know our hearts. Only you know truly what Christmas is all about for us. Only you truly know how we're responding right now. If we are looking to that baby that grew into a man in faith and wanted to follow him, or if we are just indifferent, if we think he's not for me. Father, impress on our hearts the importance of crowning that baby, that man, the one who is now seated on the throne as our King and Lord. Help us to do that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing our final carol, which is number 39 if you're using a book. As with gladness.